Because the will of God is twofold. There is the perfect will of God, and there is the permissive will of God. Church, there is the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. Get it here. Sometimes we walk in God's permissive will and we think we are in His perfect will. The emphasis is the will of God. So no matter how sincere you are, if you are sincerely doing it, you can be sincerely out of the will of God. And you will not enjoy the benefit of whatever you are doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Verse 7 is where I am going. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Now, there is a reason why I'm bringing this out. His perfect will is to lead the people by a prophet. See where I am going. God told Samuel, "You are not the one they have rejected. It is me they have rejected, not to reign over you." And each time you reject a prophet, you are rejecting God. In this age, the denominations for this age, God's prophet for this age was the man William Marion Braham. He had the word of the Lord for us for this age. They rejected him. They have rejected God to reign over them. But see where I am going. And yet, the same God told Samuel who he should go and ordain as a king. So, now, if you go and meet Saul, hallelujah, who made Saul a king? Who made Saul a king? God, so he will boast of his calling. Until even David recognized the call of God on Saul. And he said he will not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. And when that oil was poured on Saul, he became another man. So the anointing was from God. Yet, it was under the rejection of God. You see? And so many people today are boasting of God's call. And you may be answering God's call under His permissive will. And there's a danger in it. Because God can never bypass His perfect will. That's why people miss it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me show you another one. In Ezekiel chapter 14. He told Ezekiel that when people are coming before him to inquire, the prophet, you know, you cannot do anything except we inquire. You know, we want to walk in God's will. So what is God's mind concerning this man that is coming to me for a hand in marriage? What is God's mind concerning this job they are telling me to come and take? This business I'm going to make investment. What is God's mind concerning it? But before they come, God saw something. He said they come with their idols in their hearts. What does that mean? They have already decided whether God, me, if I don't marry this malam. No, my, I don't suffer too much. My papa poor. Ah, if I marry this woman, my life will change. He's a very rich man. Now my choice. You have it already in your mind. But as a Christian, let us go and inquire. Do you understand? That is what Ezekiel 14 is saying. He said, when you go to the prophet, God told Ezekiel, he said, he the Lord will answer them according to the idol in their heart. According to the multitude of the idol in their heart. That is how the revelation he will give. He is warning Ezekiel so that Ezekiel will not come and say, ah, Lord, when I heard from you, that is what I told them. And this is how they ended up. So God was also warning him, but at the same time also, because if you go further in that reading, he said, that prophet that gave that revelation, he said, what will he do to him? He said, he will also destroy that prophet. We will come to that aspect. But that's not the aspect I'm going to. The aspect is the way God answers you. You have already made up your mind. And then you are going before the Lord in fasting, dry fasting. And actually what you are doing is, you are only asking God to confirm the decision you have made. This is how I've decided. Concerning this, I must do it. But sir, let me go and find out. And he said, he will answer you according to the multitude of your desire, your heart. That is what he was telling Ezekiel about the principle of prophecy. And now, the Bible already, that is God's perfect will. He says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. He's an unbeliever. And you are bringing him, Lord, I want to confirm if it is your will for me to marry him. Is it that you don't know his will? So he said, when you come, before you sit, and the prophet will say, ah! In fact, you have three men before you. One is Guru Maharaj. One is Alhaji. And the third one is a Hindu. But God said it is the Alhaji. Because he's richer than the other two. And that is where your mind is. Then you will stand up and you will go and give testimony. Praise the Lord. I prayed. And the Lord said, this is my husband. Did the Lord say that is her husband? Yes. It's not a different spirit that spoke. It is God that said that is your husband. But that is God's permissive will according to your heart desire. And you know what will become of it. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 8, he said they want a king, Abi. He gave Samuel the type of people that will be their king. He will collect all that belong to you. Everything you have, he will collect it. He will have power over you, life and death. All your children will be his servants. Everything you have, all your gold, everything, he will collect it. That's the kind of person you want. Since you don't want a man like Samuel that does not charge you for anything. You want the one that will charge you. Then he said, go. Even they wanted to anoint one, they went to the house of Jesse. Now this one, he said no. Now this one, no. So God appointed the king by himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What of Balaam? Balaam went, Balak went to Balaam. And there are many Balaams in the Church of Jesus Christ. Many, many Balaams. In Numbers chapter 22, you see the full story there. Reading from verse 12. Read it up to the end there, verse 33. You get the picture there. And they say, go and curse this nation, Israel, that is coming. But they came with gifts. Precious gifts. When Balaam saw those gifts, he was charged. He went into the spirit all night vigil, wanting to receive power to curse Israel. God came down and told him, I have blessed them, you can't curse them. What is thus said the Lord concerning cursing those people? I have blessed them, Balaam. You cannot curse. I know I gave you power to curse, but these ones, you cannot curse them because I have blessed them. You can't curse whom God has blessed. How many people have God blessed here? Thank you. So why are you afraid of anybody cursing you? God has blessed me. You can't curse me. No man, no woman, no demon, nothing. There are curses that you send, it returns to sender. That is it. Me here, if you curse me, it will return to sender. How many people believe that also? Oh, no. How many people believe? So, what are they fear for? Why are they fear to go village? Some of you not near village this holiday period. For fear. Anyway, that is God's perfect will. But he came out and told them, lie, these people, you cannot curse them. God is saying you can't curse them. Balak increased the gift. After he saw what he will lose if he doesn't curse these people. See all the gift. He went back again to God. Now the question is, you have known God's perfect will. Why are you going back again? And so God came back to him and say, yes, go and curse them. He jumped up and came, collected the gift. Oh yeah, let's go. He sat on his ass and then was going and speaking in tongue and charged his eye red. If you ask him, where are you going, Bella? What will he say? God said I should go and curse them. But did God say you should go and curse them? Yes. Now that is where we miss it. Amen. God said, yes, go and curse them. But this is how everyone that walks in the permissive will of God will end. As he was going. Because that is something about that spirit. When you made up your mind, it blinded your eyes, blinded your mind to any other side effect, because your heart is so much there until you can't see any other thing around you, spiritual or physical, until you achieve your aim. A prophet was moving and an angel was standing on the way to finish him. He did not see. He took an animal to see it. That gift that he was, all his mind is on that gift. And that is what is happening with ministers today. Your mind so much on what that anointing can do for you. People have left the reason why God has anointed them and put their mind on what they can get using that anointing. Money, brother. Money. Money. And while you do that, death is waiting for you at the end and you don't know it. But it is God that spoke to me. That's what I always say. Anybody that comes to me and says, Pastor, I want you to pray for me over this matter. If the thing goes through, this is what I will do. If it goes through, once you do that around me, you have finished yourself. Because anytime I kneel down to pray for you, what will come to my mind is, so now I am praying for him because of what he promised me. I'll just be cut off. So by the time you come, you say that. If you say that in your prayer, that's why when you said, I say, hey brother, keep your vow to yourself. I don't want to hear it. Now that's the spirit of Balaam. Church, praise the Lord. You can't go, you can't walk with God above the revelation of who you know him to be. It's what you're looking for you get when you come to Christ. Amen. See, I want to go to heaven. I'm telling you, I want to go to heaven. And this heaven, I must go there. If you doubt, wait. When you get there, whether you go see me. Hallelujah. And at the end of it all, instead of cursing them, his perfect will still prevail. He found himself blessing them. God's perfect will must be established. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will of God. Hallelujah. See, every time we continue to look at the anointing, that's where I am going to. Every time you continue to look at the anointing, and if you look at the anointing, you will miss it. Either the anointing on the person or the anointing on yourself. Hallelujah. The anointing can come on anybody, and the gift of God is without repentance. Hallelujah. That the anointing is always on does not mean that you are always in the will of God, perfect will of God. Listen, church, women, the Bible says God does not permit a woman to be a pastor. It's written there. Every woman that is a pastor today, she lays claim to the day she received the commission. Every one of them, they will tell you on so date, the Lord said, I am giving you a mandate to take over from your husband. And don't say they are lying. They are not lying. A voice spoke to them, and it is a true voice of the Holy Ghost, some of them. And the anointing they are exhibiting is the true anointing of the Holy Ghost. And people are getting converted under their ministry. And people are receiving healing and deliverance and mighty testimonies. And you don't speak against that gift. That gift is a perfect gift of God. But from our study, you now know the perfect will of God is a woman cannot be a pastor. Then how come God himself anointed this woman? It is the same kind of thing that happened in the life of Moses. Moses was told to go. The people we are testing, we know that story. And he went interceding for them in the wilderness. No river nearby, everywhere dry. The people were really on Moses' neck. And he went praying, and a rock appeared. And God told Moses, the rod you are holding, use it and strike the rock. What will happen? Water will come out. He went and did it, and water gushed out. Almost 2 million people, they drank that water and there was revival. The journey continued. The same setting came up again. Moses went for a second time. The pressure was so much on him. And that same rock appeared again. And God said, go to that rock. And do what? Speak. He didn't say strike. He said what? Speak to the rock. But Moses went. Instead of speaking, he struck the rock. Not where I am going. Instead of speaking, he struck. Did God say he should strike? What did God say he should do? Speak. But he did the wrong thing. He did the wrong thing to satisfy the desire of the people. The people were thirsty, looking for water to drink. They were fainting out of thirst. They needed the water. But in getting the water for the people, he went about it wrongly. Did God say because he did it wrongly, water will not come out? No, he did the wrong thing, but the same water came out, and it was not polluted water. It was clean water. He did the wrong thing, but God honored him doing the wrong thing to meet the need of the people that were thirsty. While the people drank the water, and there was revival. There was revival drinking. Oh, Moses is a man of God. This man is a powerful man of God. While they were rejoicing in that revival, a death sentence was hanging over Moses for doing the wrong thing. The woman is very